Amen.
Friends, I want to speak to you this morning from this proverb, this eighth chapter of Proverbs, and also to point you to a verse in Psalm 145 and verse 5, where we read of the Lord and His greatness. He says, the psalmist, in verse 1, he says, I will extol thee, my God, O King, and I will bless thy name forever and ever. I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty and of thy wondrous works. Great, it says in verse 3, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable, it says. Friends, this morning I want us to think about the subject of the knowledge and the wisdom of God. The knowledge and the wisdom of God. And especially regarding the salvation of souls. Sometimes we use the term knowledge, and sometimes we use the term wisdom. And sometimes we mix them up all together, use them as synonyms, as if they both meant the same thing. But they are different words. A person could know a lot. A person could have a lot of knowledge, but might not necessarily be the most wise. You can have a computer filled with information, but if it doesn't know what to do with that information, if it cannot even compute it properly and fit it into the right thing, it will be merely filled with information and that's it. Computers are not so wise. And we call our phones smartphones. There is not very much smartness about them. When a person put in into the Google Translate George W. Bush to translate it into another language, it did not translate George W. Bush because it didn't know George W. Bush was a person. And so it translated the George and the W, but the Bush was something else. So you see, friends, things can have information contained in them, but it is something else than wisdom. Wisdom is not only right information, but includes correct application of truth, the right acting, the right working of the information. And not everyone is gifted in that. People today tell us that the problem with our society is the lack of information. If we just knew more, if we were just educated more, if we had more data, then our problems would be, then we'd have a better society. But no one speaks about wisdom. Are you a wise person? Are you a wise person? In the chapter that we have read together in Psalm or in Proverbs 8, we encounter someone crying out. There is wisdom crying out. It says, doth not wisdom cry out in verse 1? As if where wisdom is on the streets crying out and saying, come and hear the word of God. It is the wisdom of God crying out, personified here. And what about this wisdom? What about the knowledge and the wisdom of God? Let's see a few things about the wisdom of God and the knowledge of God. And let me say a few things then. The first thing is this. The wisdom of God is infinite, eternal, and unchangeable, as the Catechism puts it. It is infinite, eternal, and unchangeable. When you think about wisdom, a person is wise. You look at a person and say, that's a wise person. Well, we look at God and say he's eternally wise. He's infinitely wise. He's unchangeably wise. We are talking about his attribute. It is one of his attributes. That's how we know God. You see, you can't form an image in your mind of who God is. We ought not to be doing that, or it will become an idol. But when you think about God, you ought to think about his characteristic. You ought to think about his attributes. And one of them is wisdom. And that is what makes God, God. Sure, man can have wisdom and show that he is wise in various circumstances of life. You have shown yourself wise in some things, but it is not infinite wisdom that you and I have. It is limited. It's not eternal wisdom. You have never always been wise, and you are not always all the time. We don't always act wise in every circumstance in life. And we are not unchangeably wise. We grow hopefully in wisdom. We recognize there are certain things in our lives that we did that were wrong before, and we don't want to do it again. So we change from being a child to an adult. So we grow in wisdom, but God doesn't. The wisdom and knowledge of God are so different to our wisdom and knowledge. And there is a reason why I'm saying these things, because we are living in a world and you are bombarded every day. You just have to put on the news. You just have to listen to individuals talking on the streets. And you think to yourself, what are they talking about? They seem to have got the wrong end of the stick in many things. They are not wise. They might see the same information, but they're coming to some other conclusion that you are. And so we are bombarded by information, but there is one who only tells us the truth, and that is God, revealed to us in the Bible. The wisdom and the knowledge of God are so different from our wisdom and knowledge. And let me ask a few questions. What do we mean when we say God's wisdom is infinite? What do we mean by that? The psalmist says, in Psalm 147, verse 5, great is our God and of great power. His understanding is infinite. Great is our God and of great power. His understanding is infinite. And that word infinite means without number. You can't calculate it. You can't limit the understanding, the knowledge, and the wisdom of God. That means nothing can be hid from God. Did you know that? Nothing, you can't cover anything. You might hide certain things from other people, but you can't hide anything from the Lord because he can't be limited in any way. There are no rooms that can be shut against the Lord. The all-knowing and the wise eye of our Maker is always open, and he sees all things. This is what the apostle says in Hebrews 4 and verse 13. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest or made clear or evident in his sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Did you know that? That should fill my heart with great seriousness, with soberness, that God sees me in every sphere of my life. And it may You may react like a person who has been caught in the middle of a crime by the police, and you don't like to see the security cameras. You might want to dodge them. You might want to go in some places where it's a blind spot for these security cameras. Well, God's eye sees all things. But maybe you are a Christian this morning here, and you have so many troubles, you have so many concerns, you have many doubts and fears and questions and all of these things. And this knowledge that the Lord sees me in everything, in every situation, that comforts your heart. People don't understand you, but the Lord understands you. He sees it. He sees you as you are. So this truth is a double-edged sword. It can cut you, and also it can cleanse you and can heal you as well. Another question to ask is this. What do we mean when we say that God's wisdom is eternal? It is eternal. Wisdom is here speaking as if she's a person, and she tells us something about herself. In verse 23, it says, I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, or ever the earth was, it says. Infinite wisdom and knowledge has always been with God. A man gets wise, how? By by applying rightly the knowledge that he has. And that's why we believe that children should be properly educated and should know the truth, should discern between truth and error. And so when you have right information, hopefully, then you can apply yourself and you can see the wrong things and the right things. And that is so important, the education of our minds and studying and learning. And also the information that you gather from experience. It's a good thing to try some things new and to learn something new. Because by experience as well, we can learn how to conduct ourselves and how to deal with situations. It is not a bad thing to take certain kinds of risks in life. It is every time we do something new, there are risks attached to it. But my friends, as long as we are learning from these things. But with God, as someone has said, he has never learned anything because he has always known everything. That's why. He has never learned anything new. He doesn't learn something from me or you at all. He has known everything always. He never received from some other source or from his own inventive genius an idea he never previously had. He has known all things. He is infinite in his understanding. But also, a third question is this. What do we mean when we say God's wisdom is unchangeable? God's wisdom is unchangeable. By this, we simply mean that because God's wisdom and knowledge of all things is so perfect, it is so true, then he can't change his mind from that which he has that perfect and right understanding. He can't change his mind. It's perfect. What he knows is perfect. But you and I, we change our mind. I hope you do from time to time. I hope you are a teachable person. I hope I am a teachable person. But oftentimes we look back and think of the mistakes that you have made, the decisions that you made. Some of it we have to live with the consequences of it. And you have to apologize many times. You have to get something else to read and to study. As if you have children, you struggle, don't you? I struggle with training our children and discipling them. And we constantly want to learn how to do it better. What can I do about this situation? We read books, we listen to sermons, we talk to others with more experience. I hope you are like that. Or we want to know how to fix things that don't work. We are learning new things. We are learning new things about people, how people are. And I trust we learn new things about who God is. I trust our prayers that God, show thyself to me. Show me how I should treat thee, Lord. And these things. I hope you have that teachable spirit. But you and I, we have limitations. We did not know everything right at the beginning. But by God's grace, the Lord has led us and helped us throughout this life. And you think about the amount of blessings you have. You have a Bible in your hand. You have a place to come and hear the Word of God. You are learning things constantly. I trust you have books at home. You have access to so much information to develop your mind. But the greatest development is this development of the heart. That must change. God doesn't change. But our hearts must change. God's wisdom never changes. Imagine if this wasn't true. Imagine if this wasn't the doctrine of the scriptures. Imagine if God kept changing his mind about things. Imagine if he kept on making mistakes. This world would have demolished itself. This world would not have existed if God's wisdom was always changing. Imagine if it kept saying, oh no, I made a mistake here. I need to fix this here. Imagine if he said, oh, I have made a mistake about the way I have brought such and such a thing into this world. No, that would be the gods like Zeus and the Greek gods of mythology. But they don't exist. They're a figment of people's imaginations. But our God is constant. He is the same yesterday and today and forever. This is what the scripture says in this chapter that we read together in Proverbs 8. In verse 6 and 8 we read, "Hear, for I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things." So they are right things. They are true. They are correct. "For my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips." You know, you can't trust God. You can't trust the Lord in all that He has shown to us in the Bible. You can't trust your own heart. Because you and I, we have been mistaken many, many times before, but God is true. He's dependable. And that drives us to trust Him. I hope you do that. You see, death is certain, but God and His truth is certain too. So since you are going to face death one day, you better get right with God now as well and trust in Him. And you see, friends, when we think about God is perfect and we are so imperfect in our knowledge, whenever we learn some truth or fact, God already knew it. He has prior knowledge to everything that we know. And God has revealed something of His knowledge to us in various degrees in the Bible. His inspired and infallible word has revealed to us who God is. And He had said something about everything and in various degrees as it has pleased Him. So that's why this book is so important. It tells us a never created God. You see, people like the Richard Dawkins of our day, they ask a question. Who made God? Who made God? You see, his knowledge of God is so defective, and he asks these questions that are senseless, because God has always been. He's outside of this world. He's uncreated. It is we are talking about something. If it was a man-made God, it would be a false religion. But since he is the one who has created us, he has no creator. He has always been. Let me summarize to you God's wisdom, and I'm quoting someone. God's wisdom, that the wisdom of God is His essential attribute. And by one simple and eternal act, He knows both Himself and all possible things perfectly. And according to this knowledge, He creates and directs and orders all future things for His own glory. Is this the God that you believe in? Is this the God that you know personally? If you do not know Him, then you ask yourself, why is it that my life is so confused? Why is it I am so unsettled? Why is it that I don't have the peace that it seems that other people have? And the Bible says that is there for me. But my friends, this is why we ought to trust in the Lord, who is full of wisdom and knowledge, but through His Son, He becomes our peace as well. Let me say to you a second thing. The way God's wisdom is seen. The way God's wisdom is seen. Here, wisdom has been crying out. It's been saying many things to the people. It's saying, come and follow. Come and trust in me. Come and take the words that I am speaking to you. Now, how is this wisdom seen? To give a general description, we can distinguish or we can recognize the wisdom and knowledge of God in three ways from the Bible. The Bible shows us three ways that we can know something about God's knowledge and wisdom. First of all, the wisdom of God is presented to us in this creation, in this world that we are living in. You can see the wisdom of God. The psalmist says in Psalm 104 and verse 24, "O Lord, how manifold are thy works. In wisdom hast thou made them all. The earth is full of thy riches." In wisdom, God has made everything. You see, when you look at something and you see it as being so perfect, so right. You study maybe an ant. Maybe you study a flying insect. Maybe you study a fish. The more you study and you see to yourself how everything is so perfect for this fish to swim in this water, how for this whale to swim in this ocean, how for this eagle to fly so high, and how was its eye was made? It couldn't have been made through evolution, because, well, where, how would it be for this eagle to find its food? It would die out before it has that perfect eye. And yet God in his wisdom has created all of these things. So you look around the world and you see for yourself this beauty, the colors. Imagine that. Imagine you only saw black and white. That would be awful, wouldn't it? If you didn't see color, if you didn't see the radiation of the lights that are bouncing back at you, imagine if everything was black. That would be awful, wouldn't it? So let us be thankful to God that in his wisdom he has created everything. Everything is perfectly arranged. There are laws that work in harmony. The constellations rotate with such beauty that shows the perfect laws of the universe. And so you look at these things and you say to yourself, Lord, I am baffled by all of these things. But another thing that you could say about wisdom, how does God show his wisdom? His wisdom is presented to us in providence. In providence. And suffice it to say that God's ordering of all things in this world is not done lightly. When we talk about providence, we are not talking about this building. We're talking about what happens in this world. Everything that is taking place in this world is according to the will and the care and the keeping of God. We call that providence. Every sad situation and occasion, every time of rejoicing, every cross that you have to bear, all of those things that causes you to worry and causes you to be so thankful to God, it is in God's wisdom that he's performing these things for his own purposes, for his own glory. But my intention this morning is to deal mainly with our next point, and that is this. The wisdom of God is displayed in the plan and the work of salvation through Jesus Christ. The wisdom of God is seen in the plan and the work of salvation through Jesus Christ for sinners. And you see, this is the thing. When you come to the New Testament especially, you find expressions like this. The Apostle Paul, for example, he's thinking about how can he describe the gospel of Jesus Christ, this way that sinners can be saved, and this plan that God has made for us, poor sinners. He's moved to stand in awe of that work of God. And he says in Romans 11 and verse 33, he says, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. He says, can I understand it? No, I can't understand it. It is past finding out. And yet God has revealed these things to us, has shown it to us. Has he shown it to you personally? Do you know the Lord yourself? Have you come to be in awe of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that God, the infinite God, looks down upon us, finite creatures of the dust? So if you want to see the epitome or the essence of the wisdom of God, you must look at the way he planned and worked out a way for sinners to, like us, sinners like me and you, to become right with him. Sinners who deserve God's rightful punishment. How can they be right with God? It's an amazing fact of what Jesus Christ has done. And maybe at this time you are wondering, what should I read from my Bible? What passage? If you are not converted, if you are struggling maybe with your Bible reading, maybe sit to yourself and say, I will be reading and studying the Gospels. If you are not converted, children, adults, you set yourself that you would read prayerfully a chapter a day of the Gospels. Just work yourself through and pray to God. Lord, I want to see this too. I want to find out what Jesus Christ has done for my soul. And pray to God that God would show you of that. And he will if you sincerely seek him. How can I have this holy God Who cannot receive me, an unclean sinner, into his presence? How can you have a just God who has to, by his nature, punish sin and all who commit sin? Well, friends, aren't many people trying to find a way out of this? And like those Pharisees and the Sadducees, they want to find their own way by their own good works. There are many people like that. And there are others who would be saying, who then can be saved? Who then can be saved? It's so hard. I'm not going to think about it. Some people say, are you thinking like that? Are you saying, well, I'm just going to fail at these things. And I'm not going to understand it all. So I'll just give up. No one can be saved, some people would say. Well, the Apostle Paul tells us this in 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 22. It says this, the Greeks seek after wisdom. But then he argues, do you really want to know knowledge? Do you really want to know wisdom? Are you ready to find out what is true science? You know what is science? Science is from Latin. It means with knowledge. And do you really want to know true wisdom? He says, then look at this person, Jesus Christ. You must look to him. He is the, it says in verse 24, he's the power of God and the wisdom of God. And in the same chapter in 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 30, we read, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. So he says, as we come to Jesus Christ, as we trust in him and we are entered into that covenant relationship, that friendship with him, then he is made unto us wisdom. He becomes our wisdom. I don't have my own thoughts anymore. I think his thoughts. I want his will. I want to search the scriptures. I want to know what my Savior wants in my life. I'm not thinking after myself now. Now, friends, this truth, when it was revealed in this world, it left man speechless. As the Lord Jesus Christ preached to people, oftentimes they didn't know what to say. The wisdom of God in bringing salvation to sinners is a thing that whenever it is preached, the Bible says this, it causes the angels to have that desire to look into those things. Angels delight. They desire to look more and find out more of this gospel that is preached on earth. That's an amazing thing. Just imagine what way we would find out if God would leave us to our own devices. How would we find out the way of salvation? Just look at the humanity, what the humanity has done to try to figure out how to become right with God. They have made many inventions. They have tried their own plans. You have systems that are so torturous. There are some religions out there. And I remember being brought up in Iran, people walking up and down the streets and hitting them their backs with chains and blood pouring out. There are Roman Catholics who would do that, on their knees, going towards the Lord's in France for some kind of healing. There would be people who are jumping up and down and exhausting themselves in things that are more looking like a concert, a rock concert, than a Christian worship. And they are exhausting themselves of so many things, and yet they have not received peace with God. And people do that. And yet God has made a way for sinners. It is according to his grace. It doesn't cost any money. It's not bought by any price, but it cost God the blood of his dear son, the Lord Jesus. My friends, do not follow, as our Lord says, those blind leaders of the blind. Follow the God who sees all things, who has revealed himself in this world. And let me tell you about a popular religion today. I call it scientism. It's scientism. And anyone who questions this new religion, or well, it's an old religion, really. The Greeks believed in them. And it's so dogmatic. It is very dogmatic, this religion. It's either them or nothing at all. And people can't review them. People can't critique this religion and its ideas. Everything about it smacks of religious belief and has permeated our society. And calls people who question it as idiots and uneducated and bigots. And that's what we are fed day in and day out. You just have to put on your computer on or read some news report. Generally speaking, you find it everywhere and from on every channel of media. And they go on to promote this evolutionary theory, for example, and they call it science. And anybody who questions it, they say, you're anti-science. You should not be heard at all. And you have godly Christian scientists who are barred from speaking out, from publishing books, and so on. But my friends, that's not science. It is pseudoscience. It has the garb of education, but it is actually a religious system of belief. And it has dogmatic ideas that has stolen the minds of millions and millions of people. And they use so much publicity to publicize and advertise it everywhere. Friends, be warned of such things. This religion of scientism. Make sure you are basing your beliefs about life and death and eternity and the things that you see day by day in your life according to the word of God. Friends, as you think about the Lord and what he knows, what he, his wisdom, his knowledge, you must think about his mercy, his mercy. God has revealed to us that in his wisdom, he shows his mercy to us, his compassion to us. He has so much compassion that he couldn't leave us to ourselves. So he sent his only begotten son into this world. And we who were so blind, the only one who could see came into this world. And he came to do eye surgeries and heart surgeries on people and to give them new spirit to dead people. And that is our Lord Jesus Christ. Have you experienced that, friends? His plan is an amazing plan. No one else could have thought it, but it is the plan of God. This plan that would deal with the issue of sin as Jesus goes on the cross, as he sheds his blood to pay the price of our sins, and then the plan that all who would trust in him would be saved, would have the goodness of Jesus, the righteousness of Jesus turned over to their account. So the Lord said in his wisdom, he said, let God become man. Let God become man. And the second person of the Holy Trinity, the Son of God, comes forward, as it were. And he says, I will become man. I will go. This is happening in eternity past. I will become incarnate. I will live. I will suffer. I will die in the place of these poor sinners. I will meet the just demands of God's law. Only the all-wise God could come up with such a plan. And this is a great mystery, that God was manifest in the flesh. Someone has said this, that what wisdom was this, that Christ should be made sin, yet know no sin, that God should condemn the sin, yet save the sinner. Here was wisdom to find out a way of salvation. Another thing about saving sinners and God's wisdom connected to it is that it was going to be free to be had. Free to be had. Ephesians tells us that by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. It is by faith alone, in Christ alone. It couldn't be bought, as I said earlier on. For us hell-deserving sinners to receive something so precious, so eternal, so amazing, no amount of silver could work. Not our works, lest any man should boast. And so the wisdom of God aimed at God's glory. And sinful man cannot boast. You and I, we can never boast about anything that we have done spiritually. Oh, I have now converted. My sins are forgiven because of this thing that I did. Didn't you see how hard I labored in this way? This is none of that we can say. No one in heaven says, I am here because I did something to deserve heaven. Again, think on these things, my friends. The Lord Jesus Christ is speaking to you from the pages of the scriptures, and he says to you, oh, do not be so foolish. Do not walk away thinking you know it all. But let me finish by a few words of application now. First thing is this. One of the implications of the eternal and perfect plan or perfect knowledge and wisdom of God is that He knows everything, as I said to you earlier. He knows everything that will happen in the future. And if He knows what will happen in the future so perfectly, then they will surely happen. And God has revealed it in His word. You don't have to stumble in the dark to find out what will happen in the future, that He will come and He will judge the world in righteousness. Be ready for that. And that removes all sovereignty and all self-boasting out of man, that I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that in the future. Think about the fact that God knows everything in your future. Commit your ways to Him. Trust in Him. The second thing is this. There is no inch of ground in this world or in your mind that can put up a sign, as it were, for God to see, keep out. You can't put a sign up and say, I won't let God enter into it. Even though you may try to do it to ease your conscience, and people try to do that in so many ways to keep themselves from a place like this. They go to some place that doesn't stir their mind, doesn't offend them at all. Or when they come, they are playing with something. Their mind is drifting in all over the place. It's like a butterfly going from flower to flower. And they are not really listening. But ultimately, you cannot keep God out. He knew you before you were born, before you were conceived in your mother's womb. He knew you throughout every day and every moment of your life. So God knows everything about you. Why not put down everything and go to Him and trust in Him and bring all of the issues that you have? Just lay them before Him for Him to deal with. Why do you carry those things with you? Why do you carry your sins with you? Take it all out as you go to go on a flight. And they tell you, empty all of your pockets, and you have to empty everything. Well, likewise, do the same. Empty everything before God. He knows how to sort it all out. It might be so confusing and mixed up. And whose background isn't mixed up? And He will sort it all out for you. And He will guide you. That's what He's promised. That's something else for you to take to heart. And another thing, third thing is this. If He leaves you, if He keeps Himself out of you, you will die. You will vegetate because we borrow everything from Him. The very fact that we are thinking is because God is giving us that strength. So people who say, I don't want God in my life. Do you know what they're saying? I want to become a vegetable. I don't want to think anymore. I don't want my cells to function anymore because God is keeping everything functioning in your body and in your mind. You can't keep God out. He will say to you one day, do you want to keep me out? You have no right to then enjoy me if you want to keep me out. You don't have the right to enjoy my goodness and knowledge and wisdom and my word. You don't have any right to live in the world that I have created. You have no right to be blessed by the things that I have given to you in this life if you want to reject me. The fourth thing is this. God is most wise, my dear friends. Do you know anything of the way He has provided for salvation of sinners who believe? God is most wise. Trust in the way He has set through the Lord Jesus. Don't try to find your own way of salvation. It is a way that a child can come to and trust in the Lord, as well as the oldest person in this world can understand it and can turn to the Lord for. And finally, God is most wise. And if you don't listen to His word of wisdom today, I would call on you to just pause yourself, pause in your life and say, what am I doing in my life? If you have not trusted in Him throughout your days, you ask yourself, what am I going to do then? If I don't trust in the wisdom of God and salvation of Jesus Christ, I am just drifting in this world and And I most likely, and I would say to you, certainly you will make shipwreck. But the Lord is saying, here I am. The Lord in this wisdom, he says, he's crying out. He says, doth not wisdom cry and understanding put forth her voice? God is putting out his voice of wisdom and says to you, this is my son in whom I'm well pleased. Hear him then, dear friends. What a wonder it is. What a joyful thing it is that God hasn't left us. What an amazing truth it is that we are not left to our own devices in this world. You are not in control of your life. You should praise God for that I am in God's hand. And let me put down all of my weapons of warfare against him and let myself to be dealt with by his gracious hand. The scripture says to those who believe that he becomes to us our Father in heaven. You just take time and think on that today. Is he my Father in heaven? If he is my Father in heaven through Jesus Christ, his Son, then what a blessed person you and I are. Well, may the Lord then bless these few thoughts.